Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Here we go, the top 12 missing essential doctrines in the modern church world. Before we go through that list, I just wanted to say that the modern church wolves refuse to preach the original gospel of Jesus Christ from the pages of Holy Scripture, and every true child of God is in the Word of God, so they know that, and they are coming out from among them. So these absolute wolves are identified by their refusal to preach the original gospel of Jesus Christ, given to us on record in Holy Scripture, and also they do not preach in the fear of God and in the power of the Holy Ghost like the earliest believers and Christ Himself did. No, instead they preach little sermonettes that cater to the little dainty sermonettes, I should say, that cater to the self-worshipping idolaters they entertain, the goats, and collect money from, and their resume is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Remember, it has been wisely noted and observed that true under shepherds feed sheep, right? Wolves entertain goats. That sums up the modern church world as we see the visible so-called church world today. They don't even use the King James, but they always, almost without variance, use some cheap counterfeit. Their ear-tickling topics range anywhere from, see if you recognize these buzzword fake doctrines that have replaced the essential doctrines, the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. Have you ever heard healing damaged emotions? So yes. Somebody sent me a video recently, or I saw one, where the pastor who used to preach the gospel, the guy way back, immediately turned it off. His topic was healing damaged emotions. Man, these people sound like Antifa idiots, whining like little pansies. Listen, all your damaged emotions will be healed if you'll repent and get right with God. See, so they're sticking band-aids on people. They're not going to the source of the issue, which is the need for repentance, because man's core dilemma, his root, most biggest problem in life, and that's why Jesus came, was his sin. Also, here's another one. 5 love languages. Absolutely stupidity. Where did Paul talk about damaged emotions or the 5 love languages? I'm sorry, did I miss that? No, it's nowhere in the Bible. Their ear-tickling topics also include your best life now, which takes in a lot of things where you're living as your own little God. If you're right with God, you've repented and Christ is reigning in your life. You're denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following Jesus, not your own wicked whims, because you're crucified with Him. You're full of the Holy Ghost and led by the Spirit. Here's another buzzword: recovery. Oh yeah, recovery. Why are you recovering? The only thing you might need to recover from is a lack of repentance, because when you repent, God's going to instantly set you free, refresh you, wash away all your sins, and put His Holy Ghost in you. So you got this whole earning your salvation, perpetual recovery garbage, which comes straight from the world out of the 12-step program. It's pagan. Recovery. Well, I'm recovering. If you'll repent, you'll recover from your sin and be delivered. That's the only recovering you need. But they're perpetrating this. All of these churches that have Rick Warren's recovery of any kind, absolutely false. A man of God, which they aren't, would give heed to Rick Warren is absolutely in exposing himself as an absolute wolf. Don't care how many degrees he has, don't care how nice he is, or whatever else he does, he's completely deceived. Rick Warren is a devil. He has a program he has for many years called Chrislam, where he's trying to marry and bring unity between Christians and Islam. That is just unspeakably unconscionable. Here's another one. Learn learning to love yourself. You always hear that. Bible says deny yourself, not love yourself. Repent. And when you do, you're going to have the mind of Christ, which is to serve and seek and worship Him and put others before yourself. You're not going to learn to love yourself. That's your biggest problem. You're full of yourself, and only the cross, only obeying Christ, will crucify self right out of your life. Otherwise, sin is going to crucify Christ out of your life, because God will not deal and dwell with rebels. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Psalm 5:4 tells us this on that note, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Could it be any clearer? Also, they give you these coping platitudes. They talk about loneliness, cycle babble, band-aids. In other words, pop psychology garbage that they feed in there. In fact, Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. There it is. Psychology, philosophy. Vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, a true man of God is preaching you into a good relationship, a growing, perpetual, abiding, oneness relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not getting that, you are absolutely drinking at a poison trough. You'd be better to be alone with the Lord and you and the Holy Ghost and the Bible and one or two believers here or there than to continue to submit to that kind of false leadership, lest you be guilty of bidding Godspeed to one of the enemies of God, and you will receive the same judgment, which is damnation, that they're going to receive. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and 2 John verse 10 and 11. Now, somebody might be thinking, especially if you haven't been around the ministry ever, that this guy is really rude and he is mean. No, God's desire is to cause His holy fear to be struck in you, and for you to say with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, and to trust no man. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Jeremiah 17:5. It's time for some real repentance and turning your life all the way to God with nothing kept in reserve. Notice in the modern church, we hear the law of attraction, an occultic doctrine. We don't hear the original gospel, but we hear all of these false things and more. I'm pointing out just a few of them. They talk about being a successful single, a successful businessman, in lieu of and in place of the actual original gospel, the doctrines, the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, which I'm going to hit on 12 of them in rapid succession here in just a minute. This is just the intro. We're almost finished. Notice the purpose-driven delusionment. Again, that comes out of this vile animal wolf named Rick Warren. He could not be more demonic. If you don't know that, it's time to get saved. Now, here are the top 12. I put together 12 of them. There may be one or two I've left out, maybe more than that. And if you want to email me, let's talk about it. My goal here is to get you thinking. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they're of God. So here's how you can test your pastor or this favorite preacher whose books you read or who you listen to or watch or whatever communication media. Is he preaching, here it is, number one, the divinity of Jesus Christ? When is the last time he quoted John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How about 1 Timothy 3:16? God was manifest in the flesh. Who's that? Jesus Christ. How about Colossians 1:16? For by Him and for Him were all things made, and they're all sustained by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. On none of these 12 am I going to give an exhaustive cache of Scripture, but I'm going to give a few. That's your duty to study the Word of God. It's your duty to know God through His Word, where He's revealed His heart to you through His counsel, Psalm 33:11. Problem is, many of you listen to me have listened to what men said. You can't even quote five scripture. Unbelievable. And you've been saved how long, supposedly? Why? Because you listen to men and they tickle your ears. And you're using a fake Bible. If it's not the King James and you speak English, it's a fake Bible. We've got a whole lot of that on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. Look under Bible versions issue. Of the 12 essential cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith that you will either nearly never or never hear in the modern church world. Number two, the virgin birth of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. That's an absolute essential in the original gospel. If Jesus wasn't begotten of the Father, that means he had an earthly father with sinful blood in his veins, which means he was not the Messiah. Because Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive, and she did. And he is the only begotten Son of God. I want you to go to safeguardyoursoul.com if you're not on there already, and I want you to put in begotten. And I want you to study the post we have on Jesus, the essential cardinal truth of the original gospel, that Jesus had to be begotten of the Father to meet the requirements to be the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy. By the way, nearly if not all the new versions remove the word only begotten Son. They just said he's the only Son of God. Oh, really? Well, then now they're contradicting themselves, because 1 John 3 verse 1 said that we are the sons of God. So how could Jesus be the only Son of God? Impossible. The only begotten Son of God appears several times, especially in the book of John, beginning with chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world, he didn't give his only one and only Son, as these ridiculous, demonic, false Bibles say. He gave his only begotten Son. That points to the essential of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We better wake up. Number three of the 12 missing and intentionally avoided cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. Number three, the essential, precious blood of Jesus Christ. The essential and precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without Jesus Christ had the blood of his Father in his veins, connected directly with the virgin birth. And when he died on the cross, he offered on the altar of the cross the divine blood of God for the remission of the sins of the world. His blood is precious. Any gospel that is not bloody, namely the blood of Jesus, is a false gospel. When is the last time that absolute devil that some of you call your pastor has preached on the precious blood of Jesus? Now, somebody might say, well, brother, my pastor preaches that all the time. Hallelujah. I want to know the brother. Email his info to me. I'd love him if it's true. But you're very rare. You discerning believers who are tuned into this ministry, you wouldn't be sticking around if you weren't a discerning, true Bible believer. So you know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you, you could visit 100 churches and not hear the blood of Christ one time in most of these churches. Absolute frauds. It is the leaders of this people that cause them to earth. This is nothing new. The book Deceivers and False Prophets brings this out through scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It is a crash course in discernment and in exposing how God exposes false leaders who are his enemy. Everyone's his enemy. It is the leaders of this people that cause the people of God to err and to be destroyed. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 16. There is so much real estate that God has taken up in his word, in the canon of scripture, on this topic. It will amaze you how much. There's like 6 to 8 whole chapters dedicated to exposing false teachers in the Old and New Testament. That book is called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. So far, it is the best-selling book we have in the ministry. It has opened a lot of eyes, changed a lot of lives. That is because of the scripture in it. There's another one on that topic called Predators in Our Pulpits. Highly recommend them. Only for the harvesting of the Holy Scripture in them, and it follows the pattern of Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 8, where the elders read the scriptures distinctly and gave the sense thereof. Number 4 of the 12 missing, intentionally removed, and crassly denied and set aside cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. Number 4, the inherent fallen nature of mankind. This is what Paul called the old man, which has to be crucified out of our life. We have to put on the new man, and that happens happens through the cross every day. Also, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and not only wicked, but desperately wicked. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 12, before God destroyed the earth, everyone in it except Eight, he said, the thoughts of their heart are only continually. That's what we see now. And that's why Jesus was in the days of Noah. Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot, one that is holy and without blame. Be not deceived. We're going to get to that more in a minute. And before we move on, the inherent fallen nature of mankind, out of Romans 5, death passed upon all men. Verse 12, verse 18 and 19, we have Paul in chapter 7, Romans 7, 18, there is no good thing that dwelleth in me, nothing except Christ. That is, he said, of my flesh. And then in verse 24, he tells us, O wretched man, not that I was, but that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this? When you get saved, you are required to deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow Jesus. That's the only way to put off the old man, where you're being raised up by the Spirit of God, as you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Jesus said that's a must. Number 5 in the 12 missing essential biblical doctrines that is missing in the modern church. Repentance. When's the last time, when and where, that you heard a message? I'm talking about a thorough message on the doctrine, the essential doctrine of repentance. Repentance is absolutely essential. It's a requirement of God, initially and ongoing as needed. I don't know about you other believers, but I find myself having to repent on a regular, let's talk about daily basis. What do I mean by that? Well, repentant, returning to the Lord, having drifted or strayed or had some kind of hatred towards somebody or didn't forgive them right away or whatever it might be. Sin is sin in the eyes of a holy God in the sense that he is holy, holy, holy. Just because your sin differs, is a different flavor than someone else's, doesn't make it any less vile in the eyes of a holy God. Repentance is a necessity. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Again, I'm not giving a complete battery of scriptures, but just a few. The first word out of the mouth of John the Baptist was what? Repent. Matthew 3, 2. Next chapter, Matthew 4, 17, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the first word out of John the Baptist, Jesus' mouth, and Peter on the day of Pentecost when the church was born said, repent. That was the first word. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 2, verse 38. Repent is an absolute essential. Never, nearly never heard, God forbid, in the modern church world, which is apostate. All right, number 6, halfway through, just about halfway through on the list of 12 essential doctrines that are missing. They're never heard in the apostate modern church world. Here it is, the return of Christ. The most prevalent doctrine in the whole New Testament is the return of Christ. The return of Christ. It appears in one in every 25 scripture, the return of Christ. It is absolutely an essential. Jesus says in Matthew 24 and 25, he speaks extensively about his return and throughout scripture. Here we have the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says immediately, verse 29 and 30, Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the earth, of the heavens, shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That was Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, the Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, that is Jesus, during his post-resurrection ministry appearances, which were at least 40 of them, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Obviously, those were angels. Verse 11, Acts 1, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Again, Jesus is coming. Jesus himself taught that the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Number 7 on the list, cardinal doctrines of the New Testament, the original gospel, that are never heard in the modern church. Here it is. Number 7, who Jesus is returning for and who will be shut out of his eternal kingdom. The scriptures speak continually about this topic. And how in the world can a man call himself an under shepherd, an overseer of the body of Christ, and not be sleepless concerning having the people he oversees to be always ready for the return of Jesus? In fact, Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that is coupled with, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. He says to be ready. He summated his teaching on his return about being ever, always abiding in Christ and ready in Luke 12, 35 through 40 with these words. Again, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Again, there are so many verses on this. We're just touching on a few on each of these 12 cardinal doctrines which are missing from the Christian faith. Jesus said himself, Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, how would anyone, any believer, read that and still believe that the crown, the salvation of a believer, could not be taken away, that they couldn't forfeit that salvation? After reading what Christ said here and over and over, Matthew 25:1-13, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. But how many made it in? How many of you Bible students know that only 5 made it into the bridal chamber? That means eternity with the bridegroom Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus taught over and over. In fact, the whole 24th and 25th chapters of the book of Matthew are nearly completely, if not completely, given to being ready for the return of Christ. Every person that has this hope in him, that is the return of Christ specifically, purifies himself even as he is pure. You see, those who are ready to meet Jesus are keeping a short list with God, if you will. They refuse to allow sin in their life. They refuse not to turn back to God if they stumble or trip, and they keep their garment clean. That's who's going to be in heaven, folks. What else matters if we're not teaching that, and we're teaching all of these other things, most of which not even in the Bible or not even according to Scripture? What does it matter when Christ returns if you're not ready to meet him in the air? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. And he gave specific requirements for being ready to meet him. In fact, let's finish this segment on that one with reading Luke 21:34 through 36. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And take heed to yourselves, he said, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighed down with surfeiting, overindulgence, overeating, overindulgence, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, that is, a trap, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Number 8 in the list of 12 essential cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, which are never heard in the modern church. The essential of enduring to the end to be saved. Jesus said to his own 12, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13. You must abide. That means remain, continue in Christ, or you're going to be cast into the fire. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 15, verse 6. Argue with the Son of God, I'm not going to join you. You must endure to the end to be saved. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The writer to the book or of the book of Hebrews continually warned about this continuing and enduring to the end doctrine. Notice chapter 3. I'm just selectively taking a few verses here. There's so many on this topic. We've got one of them's called Lie of the Ages. It's a 730-page blockbuster that absolutely establishes the biblical essential, the cardinal essential doctrine of enduring to the end, continuing in Christ to the end. It's not enough to get saved initially. You've got to remain remain in Christ and to stay saved, or you will be cast in hell, and it's going to be worse for you than if you had never known the way of salvation, according to Peter. We'll do that one in a minute. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? That's a condition. We hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Notice verse 12 through 14, Hebrews 3. Take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Wait a minute. He's talking to the holy brethren, and he says that they can have a heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. Wow. That's very telling. That's called being backslidden and in need of repentance. Notice, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, if it's not possible to depart from the living God, why did the Bible warn us about departing from the living God right here in Hebrews 3:12? Why does 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 say that some shall depart from the faith, quote unquote, if it's not possible? Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. All right, let's finish this one off. Number 8 in the list of 12 cardinal doctrines that are missing from the modern church. Let's finish it with this. 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. For if after, Peter wrote this, listen closely, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Number 9 in the 12 missing essential doctrines of the Christian faith, the essential daily cross, that is the crucified life that is required by Christ if you're going to follow him. If you're not learning the daily cross, my friend, you are not following Christ and are in utter need of absolutely repenting. And today is your day of salvation, to be cleansed by the Lord. That's what he desires. If you'll come unto him on his terms in repentance and bring words of confession and endearment and worship to him, he will cleanse you by his blood afresh, put his spirit in you, and establish you in your goings to walk down the narrow path that leads to life, which few there be that enter therein. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Essential cross of Christ. By the way, we got 3 books on this one. One of them's called 31 Daily Cross Prayers. The other one's called I Die Daily. And the other one's called Raised Up. Highly recommend that you nourish your life with Christ with these truths. They're available on Amazon and on safeguardyoursoul.com. Again, number 9, the essential daily cross. Jesus said, any man, if you're going to follow him, you must go to church. That's not what he said, especially not these lame so-called churches we have today, which are being exposed right here. I tell you what, you tell me which one, even one of these doctrines is taught correctly from Scripture in your local church, much less all 12 of them. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple, folks. The essential daily cross. Jesus said, Luke 9, 23 and 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, you're not following him if today you're not obeying Jesus, not esteeming yourself or loving yourself, denying yourself. Saying with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Again, I am crucified with Christ. Romans 6 is a place I would direct you to on the crucified life. You're dead and buried and raised up with Christ, but he's not going to raise you up if you don't obey him and follow his instructions, his command, his prescription to lay down your life. And to cry out with John the Baptist, Jesus, you must increase, but I must decrease. John chapter 3, verse 30. Also Colossians 3, 3. Again, folks, we're not given an exhaustive battery of scriptures. This is just a sampling to establish that these are biblical. I'm not just making these up. And I've given you the references. I want you to listen to this message over and over. And you might want to write all these verses down. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a good foundation in the Lord if you do that. You go look at them yourself. How do you know I'm not making this stuff up? You're going to take my word for it? You might want to write these references down. And that's why I always give references, because I want you to go look. See if I'm misquoting these or just making things up. Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead, doornail dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Number 10 of the top 12 missing doctrines that are refused deliberately in the modern church were forgiving all others. Jesus said, we're to pray, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. My friend, you will not be in heaven if you don't forgive everyone from your heart. That's what Jesus taught. But brother, you don't know what they did to me. Lay down your life, be crucified with Christ, and ask God to fill you with his love. That's the only way to overcome. We've all been hurt bad in some way or the other by someone. God requires that you forgive. Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35, probably the most poignant, the most amazing passage and teaching of Jesus, the most extensive for sure on forgiving others. He says, you will be cast to the tormentors, that means eternal hell, with the devil and his angels, if you do not forgive everyone from your heart. Now, I didn't say it doesn't take some work sometimes. Somebody out there that's saying, you don't know what they did to me. You know what? Your sins put Christ on the cross. So you may want to take personal responsibility for the all of your sin that you committed. But I didn't do to anybody what they did to me. It doesn't matter. God is holy, 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 my friend. I don't care if you've looked on a woman to lust one time. You are a vile, evil sinner separated from God and on your way to hell if that sin's not accounted for in the blood of Jesus, meeting the conditions that God has set for. Repentance and faith, Acts 20, 21. Repentance and faith are absolute. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Need I say more? Again, that's Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Forgiveness. You better learn from God, who is love and who forgave you while you were yet a sinner. You better let him teach you how to forgive. You better pray and fast and seek his face till you have the love of God in your heart to forgive everyone. This is not a game. Hell is forever. It's irrevocable. Anybody that goes to hell isn't coming back. The door is going to shut on so many who believe they're saved and aren't, who allowed sin in their life. And when Jesus came back or when they died unexpectedly, they were not without spot and blemish. They had sin blemishing their garments that he gave to them intact, perfectly white, which is the righteousness of the saint. Mark 11, 25 and 26. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Does that need any explanation? No, it doesn't. Number 11, walking in God's love. The Bible tells us, I am going to read to you, let's tell you what, he that loveth not knoweth not God, John chapter 4, verse 8. It doesn't get any clearer than that, my friends. I want to encourage you to memorize that scripture always in the King James Bible. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Here's the cardinal fruit, if you have loved one to another. It's a choice to obey God and walk in the command of God. When's the last time you read the love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. Personally, I like to read that one at least several times a week, especially the first 8 verses, which first of all, the first 3 verses deal with the essential of loving and that everything else you do in the Christian life, pretending to have gifts and prophesying and knowing all the mysteries of God, if you don't have love, if you even have faith to remove a mountain and you don't have love, you're nothing in the eyes of God. Then it says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Are you walking in the love of God, my friend? Let me finish on that note with 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, again, on the essential nature of walking in the love of God. Notice, we know that we have passed from death unto life because, here it is, we love the brethren. If you don't love the body of Christ, you have not passed from death into life. You have since fallen away and you're not of God. You're on your way to hell, sure as you're hearing my voice. You better get in the love of God or you're going to hell. What does it say in Jude chapter 1, verse 21? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you presently walking in the love of Christ? You cannot walk in the love of God if you're not walking with God. When you're one with Christ, in other words, you're truly saved and ready to meet Jesus, His love is living through you. You can't be right with God and not be full of the love of God. Does that mean we need to repent? Yes, it does. If somebody out there is realizing you're not currently, presently walking in the love of God, this is your opportunity to repent, for it's too late. 1 John 3:14-15. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know that? Here it is. Because we love the brethren. We love the body of Christ. He that loveth not his brother abideth, that means remains in death. You are separated from God, is what that says. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Notice, it's easy to watch a news piece about somebody killing somebody and be enraged with righteous indignation against them, but the Bible tells us right here that if you have hate in your heart toward anyone for any reason, you are a murderer in the eyes of a holy God. It's time to get honest, folks. Number 12 in the list of 12 essential doctrines of the Christian faith that are missing from the modern church messages. They're too busy teaching things, some of the things we mentioned earlier, all these self-focused coping platitudes and psychobabble, ear-tickling garbage and philosophies about healing your damaged emotions. In other words, everybody's just nursing themselves. You know, that's what most modern churches are, just entertainment and nursing their wounds. How many people you know in a modern church are winning anybody to Jesus? Probably none of them, like zero. They're not abandoned to Jesus like he and the apostles were in the body of Christ in the book of Acts. They're centered upon going into some little building on Sunday morning and having their little coping fest and listening to their little affirmations without salvation and regeneration. They're learning about the best life now, their best life now. The five love languages. Oh, gee, I have to know that. Recovery. Nursing your sin instead of repenting, etc. Absolutely despicable, cheap substitutes for the original gospel. They heal the daughter of my people slightly, is what Ezekiel says. In other words, they put a band-aid on something God wanted to get to the root of. And if you're allowing that to happen, it's because you're walking in darkness and you're 100% guilty. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Not all this other garbage, not philosophy. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not hold themselves accountable to it. If you're sitting under this kind of pablum, this poison that lacks, it's another gospel. It doesn't contain the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. And you don't even know that because you're not in the word anyway. You are condoning, you're bidding Godspeed to false teachers that are the enemies of the Christ claim to serve, and you're going to be judged with them. 2 John 10:11. Holiness is essential. Notice the Apostle Paul, perhaps, who wrote Hebrews, the divinely inspired writer of Hebrews, said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Could it be any clearer? Without which no man, not one, shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, when is the last time you heard a pastor preach that? Why in the world, you must ask, are they dodging all these essential truths? Are these convicting verses? There is no conviction in the modern church. Notice 1 Peter 1:15-16 on the essential of holiness. Remember, God is holy, holy, holy. That's the only one of his divine attributes that he mentioned in triplicate, not only once, but twice. Once in the Old Testament, once in the New. Revelation 4:8 and Isaiah 6:3. Here we go, 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Could it be any clearer? Notice the action of holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's finish this segment on holiness of the 12 missing cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. The Lord told us, Jesus told us, he was going to separate from himself all the fearful, the cowards, the timidly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. They will have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and chapter 19 of Revelation. Notice, let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Are you making yourself ready? You proved to be one of the wise virgins, the five wise virgins, and not one of the foolish virgins who were espoused, engaged to the bridegroom, but did not remain in him to the end, did not keep oil in their lamp, their vessel, did not keep the oil of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost in their vessel. Therefore, they were shut out of the eternal bridal chamber. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Are you making yourself ready for the return of the bridegroom? Verse 8, Revelation 19. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Speaking of the true sayings of God, my friend, I want to encourage you to get into God's Word. That's the only way it's going to get into you, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Let me just throw this in here as an honorable mention or an ending. I should have had judgment to come in here. Judgment to come is one of the six principal doctrines of Christ there in Hebrews 6. Judgment to come, quote unquote. Also, eternal hell should have been in this list. We mentioned both of them throughout the list, but those could have been added and should have been. This was not an exhaustive list. As you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, you're going to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, and you're going to be able to step back and go, you know what? I'm going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge, according to Hosea 4:6, if I don't get in the Word myself and stop depending on these false teachers who are running a scam on millions across America and the world in their modern church settings. We need Jesus and the Word of God and the body of Christ, folks. We don't need false churches. Perhaps somebody out there would say, I'm trying to find a church. We get that email and that phone call all the time throughout the years in ministry. I'm looking for a good church. Do you know one in my area? Why don't we just be the church? I can't send anybody to any of these churches anymore. Can you? I don't want to be guilty of misleading them. If nothing else, they're going to be lukewarm, because as one of the 12 central biblical doctrines that's missing, they're not going to have the fear of God. What happens when you don't have the fear of God? You become lukewarm. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. Let me finish with this. You'll notice that in the modern church, there's no cross, no blood of Jesus, no judgment, no sin, no hell, no readiness for the return of Christ, no equipping preparation for the ministry of the body of Christ. People aren't being equipped with the Word of God, as the Bible commands that elders do. They're not fulfilling their duty. Nobody in there is ministering. They're just coming to get poisoned every Sunday, get entertained with their little dancing bear, so-called praise and worship. The guys up there with the skinny jeans looking like a bunch of little coward, little sodomite, little effeminate pansies with their earrings in and all that. Ridiculous. No scripture memories ever mentioned in local churches anymore. No holiness, no messianic prophecies, and the fulfillment, that's too extensive to even bother with that, right? I mean, that's just the Christology. That's just about Jesus. We're not interested in Jesus. Well, that's what they're telling you, because they don't preach on Jesus. He's not the central topic and grand subject of their message, even though he is the grand subject of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. There's no fear of God. There's no repentance, etc. This is the state of the apostate modern church. I highly encourage you to come out from among them and be ye separate, lest you be damned with them. Find one other believer or more that you can fellowship with locally in prayer, in the Word of God, in praising the Lord, in seeking His face, and learning of the Lord together. Where two or more are gathered, Jesus said, He's in our midst. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening, and thank you for praying for the ministry outreach to be more and more fruitful, to reach the incarcerated, the homeless, and many others that are being reached. We love you, and thank you for for your support also. God bless you, saints.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.